everyone, and welcome to Dimes with Dura on the Joy Slot Podcast, brought to you by IrishSportsDaily.com. I am Greg Famong, and that is Darren Mabry. We just sat through a stressful, didn't have to be stressful, but it was a stressful victory by Notre Dame women's basketball in their opening game of the ACC tournament over the Louisville Cardinal. What was the final score? 77-68. So Notre Dame wins 77-68. Not a great shooting performance by Notre Dame or either team, really, frankly. The first half was definitely not something to write home about, but they got the job done. Survive in advance is the whole theme of the, you know, kind of the March Madness, spectacle. And so Notre Dame survives. They're going to play tomorrow against the winner of this Virginia Tech. Who's Virginia Tech playing? North Carolina,
I believe. Miami.
Miami. Oh, yeah, that's right. North Carolina lost in the last second last night. So Virginia Tech, Miami, they'll play the winner of that game. Dara, how are you doing? I know you're stressed. I know you're sweating it out. What are your emotions in this moment?
I'm good now. I feel like I felt what they felt. They got complacent. They got comfortable. Yeah. I started making coffee. I was gazing back and forth at certain possessions, and then, like, before I knew it, I was on the edge of my seat. They played with my emotions a little bit, but I'm just happy that they came out and got the win.
Yeah. Blue Eyes Italy 46. Refs were so bad. The male ref needs to be banned from officiating, takes away from the game.
Yeah.
I didn't make a distinction on who the ref was. I thought it was pretty equal opportunity for all of them. It was tough. I mean, there was some really like poor. I want to get your take on. I haven't talked to you about this. I am of the opinion that the charge call needs to be eliminated from the sport. They don't know how to adjudicate it. They don't know how to call it. I feel like it's an every game thing where they're just missing it. They don't know how to call. Like Sony's driving down the middle of the court, driving down the middle of the lane, and she's trying to sidestep. She's moving over, and the girl's just standing there. And the girl, you know, she flops on the ground. She gets the benefit of the call. I just don't like it. Like, it just needs to go away. What's your view on that, Dara?
The charge call is a tough one. I would say, like, I mean, I've never been an official, but as a player, like, we think that we know every call, but that's a really tough one. I don't think that they should take it away because, like, you're not allowed to just dribble as fast as you can, like, with zero body control and slam into somebody. Like, that's honestly dangerous. But the ref has to be, like, if you know someone is driving down the lane, like, you have to be one step ahead, just like the players are on defense. Like, you have to know, did the offensive player take off before the defensive player set their feet? Was the defensive player sliding into place? If she's sliding, that's a block. It's automatically a foul. And then you have to be able to see, like, pretty quickly around the charge circle if her feet are inside or outside of it. But, I mean, that's what they signed up for. Like, that's the difficult part of officiating. So, like, I completely agree with Blue Eyes Italy, whoever that was. There was some really questionable calls. I think on both ends, though, like, take, obviously we want more of the calls, but they let us get away with some stuff too, like on Louisville's end of the spectrum. You saw Coach Walsh definitely wasn't happy about those two. I would say I unfortunately on this one, as a player, I wasn't really allowed to speak about the officiating, but now I can say that I strongly agree with that statement.
It's tough, man. You don't want it to, and here's the thing. And I think I've talked about it on multiple podcasts. It's like the game and the way that it's refereed, it changes throughout the game. So what you're getting away with, or what they're calling, or what they're allowing to happen in the first half suddenly is different. Right. And so that's where the players get all confused. Like, hey, it's not that, because, you know, it's always a thing like, oh, like, why are you complaining? Like, that's a foul. It's like, I know, but like in the first half, it wasn't. And so now it is.
It has to be consistent. Like, if you're going to let them play and let them be physical, like, you have to consistently do that throughout the game. But even like today's officiating was way past that and like just bad overall.
Yeah.
Kylie's foul really bad. Like
Kylie's just tough. She's running down the court and the girl steps on her foot. Like she's not even facing her. You know? How do you foul? And you fouled her out on that, right? Like that's her fifth foul. She's got to go sit. Like it's just like it's not good. And then they get points off of it because it's free throws. They're in the bonus. You just don't want to see that stuff. I thought the Louisville coach getting tossed was funny. I mean, I think he was just frustrated at the like because on the one that he was upset about, it kind of wasn't like that's not a foul. She's driving into the lane and she's creating all the contact. KK's backing up. Like she just lost the ball.
Yeah,
but he was frustrated before that with the out of bounds situation with KK. Which
he just had enough today. That was the final straw. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was that was stressful and that was tough. And we're getting to that March Madness season. And if you want to stress out some games, Dara, and you want to feel good, you want to feel comfortable while you stress out for these games, then you're going to want to go over to ESQ Clothing, which is founded by Notre Dame alum Ga Wang. You've seen ESQ and all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches over a decade of making the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024 from a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt or bomber jacket, or the perfect tuxedo for wedding season. Check out Ga's amazing work at esqclothing.com and book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. Dara, the game started well for Notre Dame. I think Sony came out hot. Hannah came out hot, not necessarily from the field, but she was getting to the free throw line, which was a theme for the whole game. Hannah got to the free throw line 14 times. Sony got to the free throw line 11 times. Some of that's in the end there. When they're fouling and trying to come back. But overall, it kind of an ugly start for both teams. Notre Dame goes into halftime with 34-17 win. What was Notre Dame doing defensively to give Louisville so many problems early in the game here?
They played the scout really well. I think on some players on Louisville, you have to know who can shoot and who can't. And it seemed like they played personnel really well. They helped when they needed to, and they had second and third rotations. So not just the first rotation, the second one, the third one was there, and they had all types of turnovers outside of just Hannah stealing the ball. Like they had shot clock violations. They forced Louisville to do uncharacteristic things because the pressure was so intense for 30 seconds. Yeah. I think that helped them a lot, especially against Louisville, who's a team that's fast paced. They really go off tempo. And the options that they can get. They iced really well on the ball screen. They kept their guards to one side of the floor, which really limited their options out of the ball screen, which I think flustered Louisville a lot, forced them to get into 10, 9, 8, and they had to chuck up a couple threes, especially in the first half, which really helped us get into transition and let us score easier buckets.
Yeah. Notre Dame led for pretty much most of the game. Louisville never had the lead in this game. It was only tied for a little bit of time. So like it was 37. It was wait, hold on. 34-17 at the at halftime. Louisville couldn't find anything. In the second half, they started to chip away. Notre Dame, I think they came out better in the second quarter. But it was Louisville who won the second quarter 22-17. I thought two of the biggest baskets in the game, Dara, came from Kylie.
Yeah, it was
right at the end. Hannah tried to hit the buzzer at the end of the third quarter. Louisville cut it to 10. They had some good momentum there. They were winning the quarter by 7 points at that point. And Kylie got the rebound off of the miss from Hannah, and she threw it up and she made it. Yeah. Then they came down in the second in the first possession of the fourth quarter. And she was able to get in the lane, kind of twirling, not really under control, but she hit the bucket, and it went from 10-14 at that point. And I thought that really helped them. Like I thought, it kind of steadied the ship for the ladies, and just that, like, okay, the lead got built back up. That could have gone a totally different direction. It could have gone from 10-6 instead. It went from 10-14. I thought that was a really big contribution from her. What were some other key moments for you in this game in terms of just kind of stemming the tide from when Louisville was just kept chipping away at the lead that Notre Dame had built up?
I thought certain people came in the game. Like if you see Nat here, she played 24 minutes. That's a lot. I thought she was huge. She came in the game and she was just so solid the whole time. She She started off hot. She got a deflection on defense. She got offensive rebounds. She wasn't active really in the scoring. She had 0 points, but like you wouldn't even notice if she was out, like when she was out there, she was huge. KK was great. The backboard has been like her best friend the past couple games. I think she's had like a one bank the past like four games, but hey, use it if it's there. And then I just thought Sonia's dominance tonight. Hannah had 21 points. I thought it was a quieter 21, especially because she couldn't take as many chances in the second half. She had that third foul or fourth foul. I don't remember which one it was, but it caused her to have to be passive. And Sonia was aggressive from the start. You can tell that there's a different mentality in certain players when it's March and it's postseason. So I thought Sonia was huge. But, yeah, I can't say enough great things about Nat. She was really the difference maker, I thought, today.
That's a good call. Matt Radke is pointing out a critical play to me during the near the end was a long pass from Anna DeWolf to Sony in the corner. So Anna, it was kind of a cross court pass. Sony went up and caught it, drove baseline, and it was able to lay the ball in the basket. And Matt's pointing out didn't commit the charge there. So she was kind of able to maneuver her body around the defender and lay the ball in. I believe that put Notre Dame up by 7 at that point. And in the thing that Notre Dame did, and Hannah hit a big shot here. She hit a big jumper. The thing that Notre Dame did is Louisville never got the deficit to like one possession.
Right.
Like there was at the end, I think it was like 71-68, something like that. And then Notre Dame kept hitting foul shots. Or Hannah hit the one on the baseline there where she did a little spin move, laid the ball in the basket, which was a huge, huge bucket and a great move by her. But they never allowed Louisville to get within that one possession. You know, it was always like, hey, the lead's getting cut down, but like they always kept them at arm's length. I thought that was very, very important. Notre Dame in the second half kind of went away from the zone. So the zone was killing Louisville, especially in the last regular season game. They stayed in man, and that was when Curry just kind of started cooking. You know, she started to cook in the second half. She finished 8 of 16 for 26 points, 7 of 10 from the line. It was interesting. What were they doing to get Hannah off of her? Because they didn't have Hannah on her. You feel like Hannah's your best defender. What were they doing to get her kind of going there?
I think Louisville saw that we were icing in the ball screen on the wing. So
what does that mean, icing the ball screen?
Icing means like when Hannah – I'm taking Hannah, for example, but all of our guards, when they're on the wing and you ice them, they can only use the ball screen one way. You're not letting them come to the middle of the floor. You're keeping the ball on that side of the court. So then he adjusted and he got Jada Curry in the ball screen at the top of the key, which you can't really ice at the top of the key. That's just not what you do. You have to either go over or under, which was a good adjustment because it got Curry going downhill. I know she hit a step back. She hit a pull-up jump shot. It puts pressure on the post to make a decision. And if you have a good hard screen, it's good basketball, you know? And Jada Curry's a really good player. She's experienced. She's going to know how to work the ball screen. So good adjustment there by Louisville. Forced Hannah to make a decision, go over or under. Jada Curry can shoot the ball. So she was at a little bit of advantage in the ball screen. And then Hannah picked up that fourth foul. So you had to put somebody else on her. Sonia's a great defender, but Jada Curry's really fast. In that scenario, in this matchup, you want Hannah to be on the short, fast guard. You know, you want Sonia to use her length, but Jada Curry had the foot speed advantage over Sonia, which allowed her to just break us down, hit some open threes. And then she just got confident and started shooting like risky shots, but shots that go in when you're dripping in confidence like that.
Yeah.
As a basketball player. So Louisville made good adjustments. They knew Hannah had that foul. Hannah had to come off of her. Jada Curry's kind of at an advantage and she capitalized off of it, but Notre Dame did what they had to do on both ends of the floor. I don't think Louisville did what they had to do defensively enough.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a good point about the foul trouble too, because you're sitting there, Sony, Anna, and Hannah all finish on four fouls in the game. Kylie ends up fouling out of the game, right? So that's the thing Notre Dame has to be very careful about. And this hasn't been a problem most of the year. I don't recall feeling like Notre Dame's in serious foul trouble, especially with their guards. So they've done a very good job of kind of keeping themselves available and not compromising what they want to do defensively by being able to stay on the court. And you can't, it, obviously they have to stay on the court because they don't have a very deep team, but
right,
they can't be aggressive, like to your point. Yeah. Like they have to give ground. They have to, like the pull-up jumper, like it's going to be available because they have to kind of retreat there. What contributed to Notre Dame in the first half? Just not shooting the ball very well, right? For the game, they shoot the ball, I think it was 41%. Yeah. They were under 40%. They were in kind of the lower 30s in the first half. What do you think contributed to that? I thought they were a little bit, it's just kind of manic, like they get sometimes, like just kind of taking the first available shot, not very cohesive, right? Not running their offensive sets, just kind of rushing shots. That was kind of what I saw. I don't know if that was anything that Louisville was doing. Maybe you saw something there, but it definitely wasn't sharp to start the game for Notre Dame offensively. What did you see there?
Yeah, I thought they were just kind of shooting it quickly. That's what Louisville wants you to do. They play a very aggressive, upbeat defense. They deny a lot. They force you to go into second options and speed you up. And like for Notre Dame, we like to play a very fast paced, up tempo game. So you just have to be smart. And then again, it's some people's first time playing in the ACC tournament. Like it's a really big stage. Like, so I think some people maybe needed to settle in and get used to the game. And then once they did that, like I thought we got to our bread and butter. We slowed down a little bit. We played at the pace that we wanted to play with and not let Louisville dictate us on offense, which I thought we settled in great once we got past that little like beginning of the game, first game, not even jitters, just like the intensity of the first couple minutes of a game in March.
Yeah. One particular play stood out to me. I Maddie caught the ball kind of on the kind of at the elbow, but like behind the 3-point line and hit a pull up three from triple threat position. Just feeling it. Like that's fantastic. I was like, let's go. Like Maddie hitting that shot. Like it's one thing to be catch and shoot, right? Yeah. It's another thing to like pull up on one. It's another thing to, again, out of triple threat, right? Like little ball fake, go up. I was so happy about that. That really warmed my heart to see her hit a shot like that. Dara, tell us about March Madness basketball. How is the feel different? You're playing every day now, right? They got a game tomorrow. If they win, they got a game right after that. You're playing every day. I feel like the vibe is different in Greensboro, right? Like Greensboro is the site of so many like great basketball moments, especially in the ACC, right? Like I remember growing up, Randolph Childress, right? I don't know if you like know who that is, but like he played for Wake Forest, you know, Antoine Jameson, right? Like those types of guys. Like when I grew up watching college basketball, like this was, I loved the ACC Greensboro tournament. Tell us about that. Tell us the vibe. What does that feel like to be, you know, you're leaving the court and your maybe next game opponent is standing right there, you know, like everyone's
just
like
it's one intense.
Game, one game after the other. Like tell us what that vibe is like.
Well, I didn't watch that era, but when I was growing up, I did watch like Demetrius Jackson's crew of Notre Dame in the same Coliseum. They beat Duke. I'm pretty sure they won it the one year that I watched with Coach Bray. So it's really cool, like the history behind it and everything that has happened in that same gym. So super cool to see the banners and stuff and just get a taste of the history of everything that's happened there. But it's definitely a different feeling. It's really intense. You have 30 minutes to warm up. It's like, it gives like AAU tournament vibes. And it's like all eyes are on you. Like you pass the other team, like, in the back, in the locker rooms, your locker rooms are right next to each other. Like you can damn near hear stuff going on at halftime. It just makes it that more intense. And like March is a different caliber. Like everyone's in desperation mode because people's season, depending on where you are, what seed you are, it could be your last game. It's for the seniors. It's different. And you're playing for more in March. Like this is it. This is everything that you worked for. It's a different intensity, and everyone's going to bring their best game, their highest intensity. Everything is on a level scale of 1 to 10. Everything is a 10 in March, and there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of intensity, but that's what makes it so much fun in March. And you can feel it. It's different as a spectator, as a player, as a coach. When it's March, I mean, it's always business, but like March is the real business.
Right. I feel like it's just kind of in the air. Like, you can't manufacture the emotions and the vibes of it and the electricity that it's in the arena. Like, I feel like it's in the arena. Like, people who are at these games right now, like, they're going to sit there all day and they're just going to watch basketball all day. And there's a certain amount of, like, fun to that, right? Like, I'm in this for the long haul. What is the team doing now then? Like, what do they do? They go back. Do they get to have time to themselves? Like, it's just like, okay, go back here. Maybe we're going to do some sort of film, right? Because you're going to want to watch film, I assume, because you have a game the next day. So how does that work? Like, what are the girls doing from now
until? I keep glancing because I have the tournament on right now.
Yeah.
But they're going to watch because they're going to play. So, like, their film is right in front of their face at this point. Because they're going to play the winner of Virginia Tech Miami. So they'll get some food, they'll do some media, and then they're going to come right back out of this corner where Miami's standing, or Virginia Tech. I don't know what end of the bench that is. And they'll come out. They'll probably watch a half. They probably won't watch the whole thing at the gym because they have to go back and start recovery.
Yeah.
We have a short roster. So recovery for us, I mean, every team, but for us is especially really important in March Madness and ACC tournament. So they'll go back and then they'll have like a walkthrough where in the hotel, you'll just take some medical tape and build a foul line, like a half court, and you'll walk through the winner, Virginia Tech or Miami in this case. You'll walk through their stuff. You'll watch more film. You'll have dinner. And then you're off your feet because you have essentially, like, depending on what time they play tomorrow, like, less than 24 hours to recover for certain players. That I know someone, maybe was it Maddie? I don't know. Someone played 39 minutes tonight.
It was Maddie, Maddie played 39.
Yeah.
Hannah and Sony played 37.
Yeah, Maddie played 39 minutes. So, yeah, it's a quick turnaround. That's the best part about it. You know, you kind of have no time to sit back and think whether you played well, you didn't play your best, whether you played awesome, broke a record. It's a really quick turnaround. So it's mentally hard and physically on your body.
So the game tomorrow will be at noon Eastern time. So basically
less than 24 hours.
Right. So that's what's the pregame kind of wake up call situation for a noon game? What's the process there?
So at ACC tournament, you only have, even if you're the first game, because they have to keep it even across the board, you only have 30 minutes to warm up. So usually you'll go to the arena, like you'll do a little stretching routine in the hallway. But before that, you usually eat pregame meal anywhere between 4 and 3 hours before the game. So if they play at 12 tomorrow, they'll probably be up by 7:45, 8. Eat pregame meal, get your ankles taped, watch film, and some we do like highlights that get us hype. So we have like a highlight reel with some music to pump us up, and then make your way, get taped, put your uniform on. I know the band is there, the cheerleaders. I love that part of the ACC tournament because you can walk out and all the Notre Dame fans are there. You really feel like the love and support from the Notre Dame community, especially like our team travels really well. We have fans everywhere, which is so nice. So yeah, go to the bus and then ride to the arena.
What was your pregame meal? What did you eat? Like to eat pregame?
Okay. So like this one will be breakfast. So I would do, there's usually an omelet station, which is really nice because like sometimes the hotel food is just hit or miss.
Not
where you are. Yeah. So I'll do an omelet, 2 pieces of bacon. I don't know why it's always 2. It's never 3. Turkey sausage, 1, and then specifically pineapple and coffee. I have a coffee before every game. Have to have a coffee.
So that's interesting. When we were talking to Maddie, you guys were talking about coffee. I didn't get into coffee until what happened to Dara? There she is. I didn't get into coffee until I was, say, 30-something, right? Like, I never had coffee prior to college athlete. I never had coffee or anything like that. So that wasn't something that I did. Are you having trouble with something? No, I can't hear you. And you're not muted either. I don't know what happened. So anyway, so I'll talk about my coffee story. So yeah, so I didn't do coffee. I didn't do any of that stuff. I'll just talk about my pregame. So I was like a terrible eater before games. I was awful. I didn't want to eat. I didn't keep food down. Like usually we would have like some kind of pizza. Like the thought of eggs to me is kind of not like I would want, if anything, I would want like an egg sandwich. You know, I would want some kind of a like carbohydrate and get bread in there so that I could kind of, you know, I need the carb energy. We're going to wait for Darren to come back. I don't know where she went. Let's look over that. There she is.
Goodness. I don't
know. All right. You're back. You're back. Okay. Good. You saved me. I don't have to talk about that anymore. All right. So you're having pineapple. Pineapple sounds terrible pregame. I'm not going to lie. The acidity of it. I love pineapple, but the acidity, like that sitting in my stomach sounds just not it at all. Well,
you know, some players have something else built into their pregame routine before the game starts.
Some players have something else built into their pregame routine. Oh, right. Yes. Okay. All right. That's fair. Refunding, I believe. If you've ever seen the sitcom Seinfeld, you would know what refunding, where that comes from. That's good stuff. You mentioned hype music. What do you listen to?
They'll usually play rap in our little highlight reel. Our video coordinator would make it, and it would be like right before we grab our uniform to go upstairs and get changed. I do a mix. I do a lot of rap, but I always like take the time to find like one slow song where I can just like, for lack of better words, calm the F down before the game, you know?
I need to introduce you to Hans Zimmer stuff. You know who that is?
Am I going to embarrass myself by saying I don't know who that
no,
is?
No, you don't have to know, but I'm telling you right now, your life is from this moment forward is completely better right now. I'll talk to you about this afterwards.
I'm here for it.
So, Virginia Tech and Miami are about to tip off right now. The winner of this game is Notre Dame will play. It's kind of, I guess in a way it's fortunate for Notre Dame. They get like an hour's worth of more rest or maybe 2 hours worth of more rest. So there's a, you know, marginal advantage to go along with that. I'm sure Virginia Tech is the one seed and Miami is the nine. So Virginia Tech is obviously, they're going to be favored to come out of this. Do you feel like this kind of getting on a neutral court, does that help Notre Dame in this? Is there any difference? How do you feel about facing Virginia Tech in a tournament setting rather than, I mean, last time they played them, obviously Notre Dame had a great victory. But do you feel like the tournament setting is just kind of a neutral effect on everything, or how do you think it plays out?
Yeah, I think for teams that have, I would say, excelled in the ACC tournament, it doesn't really bring too much of like a home or away feel for us. Yeah. But other teams like NC State, that feels like a home game. Even Virginia Tech, they probably brought a lot of fans like in that quad of Duke, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, UVA, like their fans travel really well. So those teams usually have a better crowd. But at the end of the day, like I'm pretty sure I heard it was like kids' day there, and there was just like screeching every time
they
went in. So I would say it's more of like an intense feeling and a lot of pressure instead of like a home or away feeling, if that makes sense.
What's the effect of, I mean, obviously it's a huge loss. It's a huge loss for Virginia Tech not to have the ACC Player of the Year. Liz Kittley, she's out with the knee. So that's obviously, it's very hard to replace that. But how does that make them different? How does it change the way Notre Dame kind of matches up with them?
I think it puts a lot of pressure on Georgia Amore. She already contributes so much. She's so good. But it puts a lot of pressure on her because they don't have like the inside out game anymore. So instead of going through her and Kittley, now everything has to go through her. and that allows defense to draw a lot of attention towards her. I could picture Miami picking her up full court to try to tire her out. Obviously, she's going to have to play the whole game, try to get her in foul trouble, and trap her off of the ball screens. I could imagine those three things happening in Miami, and if they win the game, Notre Dame doing that as well. And then just packing the paint and forcing Virginia Tech's other players to score baskets. Like, number four on Virginia Tech is probably going to play the most minutes that she has all year in the ACC tournament, which is a really big ask. That's not to say their other players aren't capable, but they're going to need to step up, and it's going to make it really difficult not having Kittley's post presence on offense and on defense.
Yeah. I mean, it just like watching her number four just get up and down a court, it just like the conditioning aspect makes me feel like that's going to be hard, right? Like, you're eventually her lungs are just going to start burning, right? Like, it's just natural. You're just not used to playing that many minutes, intense minutes too. It's not anything small like that. So we'll monitor that. So tomorrow Notre Dame will be playing one of these two teams at noon Eastern time, 9 Pacific time, 11 Central, 10 Mountain. Tune into that. Catch it live. We won't do a show. I'm thinking if they make the ACC championship game, maybe we can do a live show after that one. I should be around for that. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But we'll end it there. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Dimes with Tara live show on the recap. Notre Dame wins the game. Let's see, 77-68. We'll talk to you soon. Check this podcast out. Links in the description below. Hit the like, hit subscribe, hit the notification bell. Like I said, maybe we'll be back on Sunday to do a live show. If not, then we'll be doing another show, wrap up the ACC tournament next week. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon. What do we do, Dara?
Keep getting them buckets.